Hello and welcome back. This is episode 3 of Send Parenting Balance. I am Katie Walker and I talk all things autism, ADHD, and PDA. As some of you already know, I started this podcast because I love walking my dog. It's my only real headspace away from my caring responsibilities of my own three neurospicy children, and I love listening to podcasts on my walks. There didn't seem very much to choose from regarding the topics of parenting children with autism, ADHD, or PDA that I had hoped for. So here we are, filling that space together. This podcast is a new venture for me. I'm certainly out of my comfort zone here, but here we are. I'm excited to grow this channel with you. As some of you know, my main social media platform is TikTok. You'll find me under Katie Walker. Today's topic is It Is Not My Fault. I want to talk today about my most recent TikTok post that got a little more attention than I thought it might. It was one of those posts that you just kind of put up. It was just my wandering mind, my thinking mind, and I think lots of you resonated with it. It was a photo of my 13-year-old daughter, and over the top of that photo was text that said the following: Perhaps your daughter may have ADHD or autism. Perhaps you may have ADHD or autism. Perhaps you have her so she doesn't have to struggle the same way as you did as a child. Her story will be a success because of you and your understanding. Wow, powerful, right? So let's think about that just for a little hot minute. Her story will be a success because of you and your understanding. Look right now at just today, all that you have done for your child. That's above and beyond all of the normal parenting aspects. Perhaps you've tidied another trashed room or body doubled patiently while your child got ready. Perhaps you have completed a PDA approach to parenting today. For those that don't know what a PDA approach is, that's a low demand parenting style that takes much patience and creativity. It's definitely something you learn over a long period of time. Perhaps you've spoken or met with professionals, and perhaps you've dealt with your own anxiety along the way. Perhaps you've let down your own responsibilities because you are at home due to your child being unable to make it to school today. Perhaps you've already diffused three meltdowns already. I could go on, as I'm sure you could. Again, your child's story will be a success because of you. How often have you or do you think your child's diagnosis or behaviour traits because of ADHD, autism, or PDA is your fault? Like somehow because of you it's worse, that somehow you failed them in some way. Basically, the opposite to my TikTok post. Let me share something with you about ADHD, autism, and/or PDA. It doesn't matter what you have tried or what you have not. It doesn't matter if you're rich or like me, winging it month by month. It doesn't matter how educated or uneducated you are. It doesn't matter whether you work or stay at home. Mental health has no prejudices. And no matter how hard you try, you cannot fix or get rid of autism, ADHD, PDA, or any other associated mental health diagnosis. Why? Because it's not what you're doing that controls whether or not your child has autism, ADHD, PDA, or other associated mental health difficulties. Therefore, it's not your fault. Of course, society would have you believe that it's your parenting, but that's a lie. That is society's way of pushing the problem under the rug, the problem being the lack of understanding and support for your neurodiverse family. Of course, it's cheaper to blame your parenting. It's less time to constantly tell you it's not a school problem, but definitely an isolated home problem. It's not your fault. For years, I held myself accountable and searched for solutions. You see, for those that don't know, I'm a parent to three neurospicy children. Now, I adopt this term as their preference, really, neurospicy, as it allows all of us to identify with it and feel united as a team, avoiding any sense of exclusion between the siblings. I would never want to label them as the autistic one or this is the one with ADHD. Therefore, neurospicy is a perfect fit for us. And you may hear me refer to the term neurospicy quite a lot through these podcasts. While I never managed to pinpoint a specific cause for autism, ADHD, PDA, I excelled at attributing blame to their behaviours associated with their diagnosis. For instance, I frequently made excuses like, oh, he's tired today, or it's a girl thing, to rationalise their actions. Why did I do this? Because if the root cause was autism, ADHD, or PDA, then somehow, in my mind, it makes no sense, but it felt like it was my fault. I would attribute it to the breakup with my ex-partner, the children's father. Their messy breakup could have caused trauma, I guess, and that would be on me. Or maybe it was the wrong choice of school, which would also be my responsibility. Or perhaps our living situation in a small house without a large backyard was to blame. And naturally, that would also be my fault. However, constantly seeking blame in their behaviours and ultimately blaming myself was unproductive because in reality, it wasn't my fault. When I stopped searching for a scapegoat, which was often myself, when I ceased resisting it or attempting to repair it, when I refrained from participating in the discussions about the rise of autism and we never saw it back in my time, when I put an end to all of this, I discovered that life became somewhat simpler. Life then became about acceptance, accepting ADHD, autism, PDA for exactly what it is and working alongside it with interventions that reduce the difficulties that were arising day to day, sometimes moment by moment, let's be real. Understanding along the way that it's not my fault. Society, of course, tends to shift the blame onto individuals. Let's unpack this a little bit. It's possible that you've had a meeting with the homeschool link worker concerning your child, during which they probably delved into your financial situation, whether you receive benefits, whether you're a single parent, and of course, the state of your relationship if you're not. Subsequently, in a meeting about your child's needs, you may have been repeatedly reminded that homework should be done and that your child arriving to school on time is parental responsibility. You might have also met with a senko who claims not to witness any of the behaviours you've described at school, placing the blame on your home environment. It's likely that you may have sought help from the Early Help Hub support worker, only to be given the star chart detailing your income, your anxiety or depression levels, and disclosing any relationship difficulties you've faced at any point in your life, because adverse childhood experiences could be of concern. You could be facing a court date due to school attendance issues or fines to pay, despite prioritising your child's sleep needs during these challenging times. Instead of receiving the home support you need, you may find yourself facing a social worker who scrutinises your family, leading to increased anxiety in your children, more meltdowns, tougher parenting, and a series of meetings assessing your parenting abilities. As I write this, I ponder how many of you have encountered all of these scenarios, as it's not an uncommon experience. I can put my hand up and say I've experienced all of those. So, my question then, is there any wonder at all that we blame ourselves? I would suggest that society is doing an amazing job of delivering a huge amount of parental blame. I'd like to share with you some of my own experiences. I've got three neurospicy children. I'm going to use my daughter's experience and I'm going to go through the different school years and the parental blame that I believed all the way along, really. So, for reference, my daughter has autism and ADHD. She is now 13 in year nine and homeschooled, but this is a recent change. So, therefore, she was in mainstream education all the way up to year seven. So, in year two, I was told by the GP that my daughter had a behaviour problem. In year three, I was told by a teacher that she was educationally behind, but she would always most certainly catch up, although she doesn't listen and she doesn't sit still very easily. In year four, I was told that all of the concerns around sitting still, not listening, and other behaviour traits such as meltdowns and emotional regulation difficulties, I was told it's a home problem, not a school problem. In year five, I was told that Emily likes to play up and make things up to suit her, and I was asked to attend a parenting course. This was by the family support worker. In year six, by the Senko, I was told that no one had particularly noticed her dirty clothes because she always liked to wear the same hoodie to comfort her. Nobody had noticed her eyelash pulling, even though she clearly had no eyelashes. And nobody had noticed the fact that she was pulling out clumps of hair out of her head. And self-harm was seen as attention seeking. It was at this point that I had an early help advisor and more parenting courses to go on. This early help advisor came round with a star chart and spent most of her time delving into my finances and any relationship issues that I had had over the years. In year seven, I was told that it was behavioural and reminded of the parental responsibility to ensure that she was in school every single day, on time and well equipped. At this time, two further referrals were sent to Early Help Hub, and on Early Help Hub speaking to me, they didn't know what more they could do. Now, in this time, Early Help Hub told me that I parented like a robot and to show emotion. But a social worker told me not to show emotion and to show strength. In this time, school told me to get to school no matter what, otherwise I could go to court. But CAMS told me that she was suffering autism burnout and to put her mental health first. In this time, the speech and language assessment said that my daughter had severe social and communication disorder with possible dyslexia, but school said that she was fine socially. Just in that little experience, little example there, now that is only one of my three children, the amount of parental blame that is held in all of there, yet parents can't get it right even if you tried. If you had 20 professionals from different education and experience backgrounds sat around a table with you and your family right now, today, every single professional would say to do something different. Their advice would be different. Now, that's not your fault. Now, I think what's important about my journey with my daughter is in the time between year two and year seven, there was not one member of staff in any of all of those examples I gave you and all of the different staff members that actually really understood my personal situation or my daughter's needs fully. Other than CAMS, not one professional validated anything that was going on. Now, when I look back at that and I think, well, why was that? I was pushing for all the meetings, I was there, I spoke to various members of staff. It's basically down to resources and funding because they don't have the time, and of course, time equals money. So, in all of the school years, any school professional was squeezing you in a 10-minute meeting and was too busy telling you what your parental responsibilities were than actually listening. And if they were listening, they weren't really understanding because it didn't meet their agenda of being at school on time, well equipped every day. In the same way with the Early Help Hub sessions, I remember when they would come out, the first few sessions were all about me. And I was thinking, this shouldn't be about me. And it was my education and my working experience and my finances and my relationships. And I could see where this was going, but it really wasn't going to help with the behaviours that were being seen via autism, ADHD, PDA. It was wasting my time, and really, it was wasting theirs. In my opinion, a questionnaire could have been sent prior to the meeting time for me to fill out. And then, of course, the staff cancellations, the staff changes. We would maybe go 3 weeks without seeing anyone, and then we'd have someone new rock up with a new set of opinions and a brand new person trying to learn about the family. And it was just incredibly frustrating. But again, that's not my fault, as is if you've been going through any of those experiences, it's not your fault. It's not okay that ADHD, autism, and PDA is not understood by society. It is not okay that you have received parental blame, and it's not okay to feel less than you are. You are truly incredible. You fight battles each and every day that nobody else could possibly have the time to understand. The level of patience, resilience, kindness, flexibility, and love you have as a parent for your child is outstanding. You're not to blame. I'll say it louder for those at the back of the room. You're not to blame. It's not your fault. Now, the second part of this podcast is about that TikTok that I was talking about at the very beginning. And not only was I talking about not blaming yourself and actually your own experiences, what could potentially help your child, is that there may be a lot of you that are going through a diagnosis yourself. How many are going through the assessment forms for their child and answering the questions for your child, but thinking along the way, oh, I do that. Oh, I did that. Oh, that makes sense. Oh my goodness, I've been doing that for years. If that's you, welcome to the club. You're not alone. So if you are there trying to figure yourself out, understand yourself and your own needs and your own past, as well as helping your child and their future, my goodness, that is an incredible amount of strength and patience to do both at the same time. Now, that's just due to the generation that we were born in. I mean, we've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. And we never had back in my day. Now I'm 40. So back in my day when I was at school, we never had family support workers. I don't think there was a Senko. If there was, I'm sure there must have been. I wasn't aware of it. We never had Early Help Hub. I don't think I ever heard of the word CAMHS. Our parents knew nothing of autism, ADHD, PDA. It wasn't in conversations. I didn't know other children that had any of those things. So how could we have possibly have known ourselves? Our parents couldn't even prepare us for it because it was never spoken about or known about in their generation. But hey, guess what? That's not your fault either. Sometimes I speak to parents that have neurospicy needs themselves, and their children have neurospicy needs, and they blame themselves and they look back and they say, but if only I had known, then I could have prepared better for my children. And that's a frustration that I'm sure many of us feel, but that's not something that was ever going to be on the cards because it was just never known about. It was never understood. And to be honest, there's things today that are not understood. For example, PDA or ARFID. These are conditions linked to or can be linked to autism that still need so much research going on with them. Again, this is not your fault. So let me leave you with a reminder. Perhaps your child has ADHD or autism. Perhaps you have ADHD or autism. Perhaps you have your child so they don't have to struggle as much as you did as a child. Perhaps your child's story will be a success because of your own understanding. I hope that you are kind to yourself today. I do hope you enjoyed this podcast. Do find me at www.sendparentingbalance.com for free videos, free parenting hacks, free blogs, lots more information, and of course, more importantly, support that matters.